Welcome to the Industrial Talk Podcast with Scott McKenzie. Scott is a passionate industry professional dedicated to transferring cutting-edge, industry-focused innovations and trends while highlighting the men and women who keep the world moving. So put on your hard hat, grab your work boots, and let's go.
All right, once again, thank you very much for joining Industrial Talk, and thank you for your continued support of a platform that is solely dedicated to you industrial professionals all around the world. You are bold, you are brave, you dare greatly, you innovate, you solve problems, you make the world a better place. Why not celebrate you on this platform? Because you deserve it. I'm pointing at you in the video camera. And we are broadcasting from the 31st annual SMRP conference here in Orlando. And it was a great event. It is still a great event. A lot of education, a lot of individuals that are focused on solving problems, collaborating. And if you have any interest whatsoever in those professions, you need to become a member of SMRP. Go out to smrp.org. Find out more. You're not going to be disappointed one bit. And then you're going to be able to connect and network with Jim Safran. I'm looking at the name Infrospection Institute. Woo! Let's get cracking. Sorry, Jim. That's a heck of a mouthful. Just FYI. Hey, you having a good conference?
Absolutely, Scott. It's a pleasure to be here. We've been participating in the SMRP annual conference for well over 10 years now.
10 years.
And it's great to be back, see old friends, meet new friends, and help expand our horizons by learning what's new and also sharing with others what's new in our business.
I got to tell you, you probably have seen a lot of changes taking place in the world of your business, the reliability, all of the stuff. You must have seen so much changes.
Absolutely. I've actually been in the business now going on 40 years, that is in the thermography business.
Yeah.
And the last 10 years have just been accelerating so quickly with change.
Do you think that people are beginning to, I mean, it just seems like I've been a part of organizations where they're saying, yeah, we're a reliability centered, you know, organization. We're all into the reliability. And you know, the next hour they're back to being reactive. You know, it didn't take long. And it was more of a catchphrase, but now it means something. It just seems like there's more traction being gained. Do you see that?
We do. We do. There's certainly some companies pay lip service or do the absolute minimum, but even a little bit is better than nothing at all. But we have seen companies embracing this because they realize that the future depends upon being reliable and profitable. And if you're not reliable, you can't make a profit in today's tight markets.
You know, and I think that, and I can be completely wrong, and you don't have to agree with me. However, I think with the COVID, and I think businesses realized how maybe vulnerable they are, and they need to have some sort of resiliency. So, what do I do to be able to do that? And that's just a reliability asset management question. That's what you need to do, and I think that's sort of accelerated.
Well, without a doubt, we've seen some major changes since the shutdown. Companies coming back, needing to retrain people, retrain them properly, quickly, and effectively to help them be more proficient in their jobs.
Does your organization also provide training in thermography, or is that the core business?
That is our core business. Since 1984, we've been providing training, certification, and support for infrared thermographers worldwide.
No way.
Way.
Well, that's... So let me ask you this. With all of the buzz around IoT, is there any issues with the IoT, IIoT, the devices and sticking out? How does that impact your business?
Well, despite all the buzz about AI, which is important, and IIoT, thermography is still a craft which relies upon not only the technology of the equipment and its proper use, but an operator to carry that equipment, carry out the inspections, and also to interpret the data. We certainly are seeing technology make inroads. There's permanent sensors now, which are affordable, can be installed permanently to monitor temperature. They had here the robotic dog, which has an infrared camera that can be pre-programmed to go out and perform routes for exposed equipment. But by and large, the majority of thermography is still a person-dependent type of technology. And the greatest limiting factor in infrared inspection is not the equipment anymore. It's the technician and what he or she knows in carrying out that inspection.
Yeah, so, but has the technology, the thermography, changed over the years? How do you, is it your goal, your purpose at the Institute to constantly train and there's got to be changes that you just keep current, right?
We work to keep our courses current and stay up with technological advances. Over the last 20 years, we've seen equipment become much more affordable. Equipment now costs a fraction of what it did, say, 10 years ago. When I first got started in thermal imaging back in 1984, entry-level equipment was $35,000 and up.
No way.
Yeah, and back then, automobiles cost under $8,000. So we're fond of saying that we used to carry $35,000 instruments in $8,000 vehicles.
Yeah.
And now we carry $8,000 instruments in $50,000 vehicles. It's giving it
north of that for just a basic.
Exactly.
We used to use it when I was a lineman. We started using thermography to look at bushings and substations. I climbed towers, but the same thing. You know, you're looking at splices. It was like something new. Check this out, Scott. Right. See that? It's white hot. Did we do anything? No.
Now, today, the equipment has gotten to be much more affordable, much more portable, much more sophisticated and user-friendly. The technology is still carried out pretty much the same way with reliant upon an operator. Perhaps the biggest technological advance that we've seen is the marriage of affordable UAVs or SUAS drones, if you will, and thermal imaging. So that's been huge, especially for things like photovoltaics, remote inspections of things like towers where you need to get up closer, and smokestacks, buildings, roofing systems. These are all applications where drones have made a significant inroad.
Where do you see it going? I mean, this is interesting because I think that that's a fascinating application. And, of course, you've got the robot dog, which everybody has now at conferences, right? Robot dog. But there's a safety use case there where, you know, stick a robot in where it's, you know, not safe. But you still need to, you know, monitor it.
I think that the overall future of thermography is bright. Currently, the supply of competent, experienced people is far exceeded by the demand, and that's only going to continue, especially in the light of the recent republication of NFPA 70B, where the document has changed from a recommended practice for electrical equipment maintenance to a standard for electrical equipment maintenance. And whereas in the previous edition, thermography was recommended annually, it's now required annually. So everybody's scrambling to get their maintenance programs in place and get their equipment inspected.
But in the world of when you say it's expected, it's mandated for an annual. Is it mandated in manufacturing? Where is it mandated? I see the necessity, quite frankly, in the world of utilities. That's because of that's my background, and there's a lot of heat out there, right? And whether it's good, bad, or whatever, indifferent. Where does that standard? Where does that just continue to be applied?
Well, I think the standard is going to be used to help people guide their maintenance efforts and setting up, because it's not just about thermography; it's about overall facility maintenance of the electrical system. So recognizing that maintenance is important is first step. Having thermography as a tool is another step. Where I think it will have the most applications when insurance companies come to a company and say, we're ready to write your policy.
Right.
You do have a maintenance program that complies with 70B, do you not?
Yeah.
And the other end, unfortunately, if something should happen where somebody gets hurt and there's a forensic investigation, that's going to be looked to. It's like, you did have a maintenance program in place, did you not?
Oh, wow.
So we'll see. It will take some time. It's not going to be a game changer overnight, but it is a step in the right direction. It's recognizing how the The importance of maintenance, number one, and how certain technologies have matured to the point that they deserve inclusion, to the point that they are now no longer a suggestion, but a requirement for compliance with the standard.
So this compliance, what is the standard time? Is it quarterly, biannually? What is the sort of the rule of thumb?
Well, under the new version of 70B, the standard, they are calling for infrared inspections at least annually. And if your maintenance program falls under the category 3, which means you've had several failures in consecutive maintenance cycles, or you haven't had maintenance in a long period of time, then the frequency is stepped up to every 6 months.
Wow. And you better have that thing documented.
Exactly.
So with these standards, so it's bright, but how do you train? I mean, because this is a very human-centric, you've got the technology, you've got the drones, but still it's all being driven by that skilled individual, whatever he, she might be, right? How do you properly train? How do you keep ahead of that?
Well, at Infraspection Institute, we offer three levels of training. Levels 1, 2, and 3, as they're appropriately named. Everyone starts at a level 1 course. It's a qualitative course where we teach various applications, the more common applications, including but not limited to infrared inspection of electrical systems, mechanical systems, structural systems, buildings, roofs, steam systems, machinery, rotating equipment, motors, just to name a few, although I think that was probably 9 or 10. That's where most people start, is with a level 1 course, then progress as they get more experience to level 2. For us, that's quantitative or accurate temperature measurement, and level 3 best practices. We recommend that prior to taking a course, that a person be familiar with at least the structure system that they're going to be inspecting, because a thermometer is not a point-and-shoot type of technology. You have to understand infrared theory, heat transfer, and the limitations of the technology, as well as how to properly use the equipment in order to interpret the data properly. But in order to interpret that data, you really have to understand how the subject system or structure is put together and how it interacts with its environment in order to make an accurate diagnosis.
How long would that take for me to go through 1, 2, and 3? So what's the typical time frame?
For us, a level 1 and level 2 course, they're 32 hours each. So it's roughly a week-long course, which can either be taken in person in a live instructor-led environment, or for us, we have professionally produced pre-recorded courses that are web-based. So students can log in at any time. But all of our online courses are designed to be equivalent to the same in-person experience. For someone like yourself with a background in line construction, line maintenance, which happens to be my background as well.
Is it really?
Yeah. I grew up in the electrical trades.
There you go, man.
Yeah. So,
that's why I like you.
There's many other reasons to like me as well. We'll get into this later. With respect to a person like yourself that has that type of experience, you understand electricity, you understand how the system is put together, how it should function. It's a lot easier to teach someone who understands electricity and the electrical system, or at least some aspect of electrical system operation and construction. It's easier to teach you how to do thermography. The thermography is not the hard part. It's understanding what you're looking at. So yeah. It's like anything else. This is a technology which is so dependent upon the operator and his or her skill sets. So we're fond of saying we can teach electricians thermography in a week, but we can't teach thermographers how to be an electrician in a week.
Yeah, well, I agree with that. So if I want to go to level 3, so how much time for that?
It really is a matter, with us, it's a matter of when you feel comfortable and when your budget allows. Some people like to take a level 1 course, get some time in the field, get some experience under the belt, perhaps even working, if you're in a facility with other thermographers, get some time with a mentor to help expand your skill sets. And when you feel comfortable, then level 2, and then eventually level 3. We don't have a set time frame. I've had people who are on a limited budget coming from overseas, and they'll take level 1, 2, and 3 in 3 consecutive weeks. I don't recommend that.
Yeah, that's drinking from the fire hose.
Yeah, it's a lot. But many people will take a level one, and then within the same year, perhaps the following year, advance to two, and then another year or so goes by, level three. That's pretty common for us.
Yeah, see, it just makes sense. I really do. Again, that just brings up great memories. I just remember we were in our patrol vehicle, and it's like, hey, check this out. Hey, look at that. We didn't know what to do with it. We were just like, yeah, there's heat. Must be a bad splice. Now what do we do? Got to do something with it or just move on. How do they get a hold of you?
They can, anyone who's interested in learning about more about thermal imaging or thermography can contact us online at our website, which is www.infraspection.com.
Infraspection. It's an institute. Let's put it that way. You were absolutely wonderful. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Scott. Pleasure to be here.
All right, listeners, we're going to wrap it up on the other side. We're going to have all the contact information for Jim out on industrialtalk.com. Thank you very much for joining. We are broadcasting from the 31st Annual SMRP Conference. And my recommendation to you, and if you want to hang out with Jim, you need to be a member of SMRP. So go out to smrp.org. Make it happen. Be a part of the solution. Have those conversations, and then we'll see you next year at the 32nd Annual SMRP Conference. That's how the math works. All right, stay tuned. We will be right back.
You're listening to the Industrial Talk Podcast Network.
Thank you once again for joining Industrial Talk, and thank you for your continued support of this platform that celebrates industry professionals. You definitely are making an impact in this world, and we are absolutely so grateful for what you do. James Safran. Now, I got to get this name right because I kept on butchering it because it is a mouthful for me. Probably not for many. Infraspection Institute is the location. We're going to have his contact information out there. Reliability is the name of the game. The tools that are needed to ensure the proper operation of your organization, your manufacturing line, whatever it might be. Very, very important. Reach out to James. You will not be disappointed. All right, building a platform, as I continue to say. Join us. IndustrialTalk.com. Go out there. Reach out to me. Have a conversation. Let's see what we can do and work together and collaborate so that we can innovate. Be bold, be brave, dare greatly. I say it all the time. Hang out with James, change the world. We're going to have another great conversation shortly.